Welcome to a special episode of Label Sessions Presents. Today we're diving into our new, you know, Sonic Branding Accelerator. Joining me are two guests, Vincent Korber, who will be the director of our new Sonic Branding Accelerator, and Nick Sherrod, director at Label Sessions. Today we kind of, you know, we want to introduce you to our Sonic Branding Accelerator and give you a little bit of an inside track to, you know, why it's been created and how it's all going to work and that kind of thing. So wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming on. Vincent, we can kind of start with you a little bit. So you're a concert pianist, a film composer and a producer, as well as have lots of different things. You've kind of worked with some fantastic brands. I want to, you know, why is it that you get excited about Sonic branding and, you know, the way that brands sound?
Hi, Keisha. Lovely to be here. It's always great to give a musical voice to someone who doesn't have one yet. And you get very creative with people. And it's sometimes quite unexpected. Not everyone thinks of music immediately when they think of brand. But as soon as you kind of come with something that they recognize, there is kind of this aha moment. So I remember my daughter. I think she was only 1.5 years old, and she's walking in the living room, and she was like ta-tang, which is the sound of Netflix. So she could do that sound before she could speak, and I was very surprised. I was like, yeah, everybody knows that if that Netflix sound comes, that it's time for family time. And it's just like intrinsically we connect to sound all the time. Even subconsciously, it's the quickest connection to our frontal cortex of our brain. So music is faster than images, and we really live by sounds all the time around us. And this is always something really exciting, especially with brands. They have very often so many stories to tell. And I love to translate those to sounds and music. It's a wonderful thing to do.
I think it's really interesting how you pick it up about it's not just the music side, because I'm sure that's what a lot of people are thinking about with Sonic branding. But it's you mentioned it's just the sound, because, you know, the part about Netflix, we know that sound. We know Coca-Cola and kind of opening a kind of like the Coke bottle or that kind of the tab on the Coke. It's not just music and kind of the music on an advert, but it's also so much more than that, and the emotion that brings out. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Sounds have brands, and brands have sounds of itself. Products have sounds. And I always want to explore directly, you know, what is the sound that lives with you when you open a book? I remember I was asked to create a Sonic logo for a company that deals with taxes and books on taxes. And I was like, what to do with that? So I started creating the sounds of turning pages in a book and started recording those. And it's very interesting how you can, incorporate it, how they sink inside a certain sound that even subconsciously you don't realize they're there, but finally they actually create an actual really nice sonic narrative, so to speak.
No, that's super, super interesting. And I guess kind of Nick, on the other side, why from a Label Sessions perspective did you want to pick up kind of, you know, sonic branding, especially kind of now?
Well, I think it's an interesting moment because we spend a lot of time with people who lead brands, so CMOs and people like that. And I think there's a whole group who are realizing there's an opportunity here. And there's maybe another group who are articulating a problem and not realizing that Sonic branding is part of the solution. Because I get around a moment where brands are having to create straightforwardly so much content. And they've been very focused for a while on trying to make that as distinctive as possible. And then you're realizing that actually there's a lot you can do through visuals, but actually the other part of this content is the sound environment. So I think there's a lot of brand leaders who are trying to reach out into this space of how do I think through sound with the same energy and the same focus and the same expertise as I have on the visual side? How can I think that through? And to a certain extent, I think that's even accelerated because of all that's going on in AI. Because every brand now, well, it's very easy for a lot of brands to look like big brands, to look as slick as a big brand. So actually, a key area for lots of brand leaders now is to look for, what are the areas where I can differentiate? What are the areas where I can take the core of my brand idea, have flow it through all of my communications? And I think sonic branding is part of the solution there, or part of the way forward there. But on the flip side, one of the things I'm really positive about in terms of building this accelerator out with Benson is, it's one thing to say I need a sonic identity, or to say I want to think through how I use sound and how I use music within the sort of brand environments I create. But actually, what brand leaders need is, they need some way to go step by step through the journey. So first of all, just to explore and sort of work out all the exciting things the different brands are doing in the world, and which ones are, which aspects of that are right for them and which aspects are not. Secondly, then to go into building out a proper strategy, so that by the time it then turns into saying, okay, let's create our sonic logo, let's create our identity, let's build a strategy around how we use sound and music. By the time you're there, you kind of really understand, this is something we can get behind, this is something that's thought through, and something that we can roll through all the different channels that we have. So that's the kind of business logic that's there. Alongside it, I just think it's going to be a really exciting process, and we can create some really interesting things. And actually, what we find always, every time you run an accelerator, is by building in the core strategy, you can create something that's much more pioneering at the end. So that's the sort of exciting point for us right now.
And something kind of, a lot of brands and things are bringing up about, the key challenges in branding, and kind of CMOs are coming over, but I assume they're not really kind of, they're talking about lots of different things, but not necessarily talking about the sound aspect of it. But then, I just wanted to bring up to both of you, what does the sound aspect bring to kind of these key challenges in branding that people might not have thought about before? What does the sound part of it kind of help fix or help address, or kind of things, what should people be thinking about when branding, and how does sound fit into that?
Good question, Keisha. So, there's many parts to it. I think the first thing that people forget is that generally how the process works when it comes to choosing music is very old-fashioned. So me as a composer would normally never work with a brand directly. And I think this is what we as Label Sessions facilitate, is like having the direct interaction between composer and brand. This is extremely rare. I think for one reason, that composers like to just be in their cubicle and do their thing, and then they submit their music to what's called a library. And this is the same as like picking a book from a library, in a sense, is like, you're going to like things about the book, you're going to dislike things about the book, but you certainly haven't written the book. And here, Label Sessions, now we bring, I think, kind of our core expertises together in a very, very unique way. In a way, it's almost like a superb luxury restaurant of high culinary musical foods, so to speak. And I am very excited with that, because I always said, as a composer, you have to work with brands directly, and you don't always have that opportunity as a composer to connect to marketing directors, to people in PR, people that are, kind of design the marketing identity of the brand, and how do they visualize that? And they work with colors, they work with mood boarding, but generally they never work with a composer. So how that normally works, they select music from the library, which is fitting or not fitting, and then they use that particular type of music for a particular type of or particular piece of content. And then they move on to the next piece of content, and then they choose another piece of music, and they're stuck because the two pieces of music don't fit together. And this is where you can actually damage your brand as well. This is also what we talked about. It's very easy to make mistakes where you don't make those cohesive choices and things that truly match. You get different pieces of content that completely differ in sonic identity. And as a composer, it's not just possible for myself to make this one piece of music that's fitting, but I can come with variations for different types of content that you will push out in the future. So a very good example of that was Shell, that actually came with fairly recently, a couple of years ago, they came up with this day of your life, which was also about sustainability and greener choices at Shoah. And they made this one piece, but the composer made more than 80 different versions of the same piece with different instrumentations that they could roll out subsequently in different markets. So, different parts of the world have different kind of preferred instrumentation. Like you have the Asia Pacific that might want to have like local string instrumentation. You have the Middle East that would like to have an oud or an Arabic flute, for instance. So all these things you can adjust and you can create the same melody but use different instrumentations. You can't do this with a library because the music is fixed. It's set in stone. That's the way it is. You can't even go back to the library. It's like, oh, I want to have 80 different versions of this piece because the composer most likely won't even be alive anymore or accessible. It's like, so that's, I think the great thing is to explore all these different opportunities and be able to go through this process dynamically and with a brand directly and have that connection and feedback then and start mood boarding with different sound palettes and through that kind of come through the process of making very smart choices.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting as well, Keisha, which is there will be a lot of brand leaders who might be thinking they've never done a sonic branding project in their life, but they will have spent huge sums of money on music. Because as Vincent says, what happens to any brand that's advertising, especially advertising on TV, runs a campaign at some point. And then at some point through that process, someone places them with a choice that's largely a choice that comes with a bill, which is what's the piece of music we're going to use for this campaign? We're going to license this for this campaign and never use it again. And the thing that's really odd in that, in the way that we've just assumed that's the way forward, is in that same campaign, people will be painstakingly trying to find ways to bring the brand color into the background of every scene and into the kind of clothing of everybody that appears in the advert. But the sound we've just accepted is a pure campaign asset that we just sort of key into a bit of association people have with that song we play. And we spend huge sums of money on that. So again, sort of from a first principles basis, I think it's a really interesting area of branding. And as Vincent says, on the other side, you then get brands that just use library consistently in terms of across their different assets and the like. And I find, again, that's kind of counterintuitive if you look at it fresh, because again, all these same brands are talking around how they want to try and be distinctive, how they want to try and build positive associations, how they want to try and stand out in a very crowded market. So I think there's a really interesting opportunity right now to kind of just rethink the way brands think about sound. And interestingly, it doesn't necessarily mean this is a whole new budget line. You're going to go and get lots of investment to go and do the sound thing now. You're already doing the sound thing. And actually, I think what the accelerator can say is actually, let's make sure we're getting maximum bang from a buck every time we spend on music.
Love that. And I love the bit that you're kind of both talking about it's not really an off-the-shelf thing. It's very much a collaborative process, and kind of the brands, these organizations get a say as well. Kind of it's a back and forward between kind of the composer and the brand. I wonder on that, Nick, would you be able to talk a little bit about how the accelerator method works and what it looks like from the brand side coming into this accelerator? How does work in practice?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of very much built off the steps that we know and love and work on all kinds of different challenges. But I guess that the first cycle is all around insight in terms of finding where the opportunity is going to be for your brand and music. And that's where there's a lot that Vincent's bringing just from straight experience and knowledge, as you started to hear a little bit in this conversation. But I think really the task at the start is to show a brand leader or to show a group from a brand how other brands are thinking through sound and music, how they're using it, what the opportunities might be from a really broad lens. So both things that are happening in your industry, things that are happening in other industries, things that are happening in other parts of the world, and also some really interesting thinking on the way that sounds and music work that Vincent has as well that are kind of interesting in that first step. So the first step is to look at where all the opportunities are and start to spot where some of the most interesting opportunities and the most innovative opportunities are going to be for that particular brand. Then we go into writing the core strategy. So we'll look at each of those opportunities and see what it would mean for that brand to take that forward. And that's partly what it would mean creatively, but it's also what it would mean practically in terms of how much of a change would these different things be? How would that operate? How would you think about setting up that Sonnet brand from a licensing perspective? All those things, all the kind of important questions. And then we make a choice as to, okay, so where do we focus now? And that's when the full creative process starts in terms of starting to create that identity, if that's what the accelerator is focused on. So it's a kind of step by step through the process. We've got the core mechanics that we know work and operate within even quite big and complex brands to get to a really clear idea at the end. So it's designed both to be something that works within a big company, and it's also designed to be a good process for Vincent to do great work and for the team to do great work as we go through. And then I think something that's interesting within the dynamics of the way we work at Label Sessions is that process is there, and all the way through we can pull in advice and ideas from different parts of the network and the label network, which can be CMOs that have launched Sonnet brands in different places or thought through some of these brand challenges. It can be people with expertise in different parts of the world as well as we go through, so that hopefully it's the process that will create really pioneering work. So it's kind of creative. But in this conversation here, it's a kind of incredible creative process to go through, but it's also something that will walk a brand through some of the big choices that are there. And I think also from a CMO's perspective, therefore, it can get to the right creative answer and the right brand answer, but also give you the tools to get the wider business through it. Because at some point, this could mean opening up things like what sounds do we use when we open the digital products, what happens in a physical store environment and things like that. So we kind of make sure that by the time we're having those kind of conversations, it's not just that we've got a great sound, it's that we've got a story behind it as well. And we kind of understand, you know, both how to get different people in the business excited about it, but also what ask we need to make of them and some of the practical stuff, as well as the creative stuff. So I think that's the kind of interesting thing here. We kind of fused the accelerator process that we know can build great products and great brands inside big companies and kind of mobilize them behind that. And then fusing that together with a kind of pioneering approach to Sonnet branding itself means that I think we've got quite an interesting opportunity and quite an interesting platform for doing some innovative stuff.
And I think you alluded to some things there, but I'm wondering, okay, let's say I am a CMO brand marketing leader who's thinking, this is something that I've been kind of thinking about, but haven't really deep dived into. Kind of out from kind of your guys' perspective, what would you say to them as in, like, why should I be thinking about this? And what should I be thinking about now? And kind of why is this important here and now? And kind of why should I go into it a little bit further?
There's much data that we can also offer, I think, within Label Session to show you what are the fastest growing Sonnet brands. And what have brands done in the past to kind of deserve this recognition? I think there's so many different ways of going about it. So you can explore all these different avenues. Eat.com, I think it's the home delivery food company, recently did a kind of fantastic ad that they created with Katy Perry, which was kind of, they went the celebrity way, and she did this fantastic song about eating pizza, which went completely viral. Then again, the Netflix sound wasn't made by a great composer. It was someone who played something on a digital synthesizer. So there's like so many ways to explore, saying like, what do you want to do? Obviously things are budget related as well. But I think you can explore all these things as a start and say, so what are the different journeys that we can, we could take, the different routes we could take, and what kind of end results can we expect from that? Because the data is out there. So I think this is very comforting for a CMO to be okay. We have all these different options. This is what happened in the past with these and these brands that made these and these implementations when it comes to Sonnet branding. And I think once you discover these ways, I think you can only be convinced and say, yeah, this is something that's interesting that we should really explore. And then finally, one can take the decision, okay, we start composing something. And I think through that process, what is very unique what we can offer here is that is to come with a palette of sounds and opportunities, whereas normally it's such a process that you go directly from A to Z, you start an email, and an agency sends you some sound examples. And I know some very big branding agencies that don't have any workflow. They literally work just with email. And they basically recruit a few composers that then compose a series of tracks. And then they submit that to the brand. It's like, okay, here it is. Now you make your choice. And I don't find that very comforting. Also, as a composer, I've been in these projects and you don't hear anything. You don't know anything. You get some critiques from the agency that works as the middleman, but you will never speak with the brand directly. So again, I'm very hopeful for this process to be vastly different and to just come with better end results. With an also as a brand to be then stuck with having to make a choice which you didn't want to make in the first place. So it is going to be a very organic process. It is going to be very engaging. It will allow you to have a clearer view on what am I doing versus what's out there, and to create that is really interesting balance between that and then come with very smart choices.
No, I absolutely love that. And kind of it talks about you can really feel the excitement about kind of why this opportunity resonates with you and kind of what excites you the most about this accelerator, kind of that whole collaborative process. It's really going through.
Should we pick up on that as well, Keisha? So in terms of first steps, if you're hearing this and you are interested, so we do first conversation is, you know, collaborative from the start. So we just talk through the way things could work. And in particular, just hear where you're starting from, because we can tweak lots of things as to how the process works and how we can make the best of the accelerator process. But if you want to get started, you can reach out directly to Label Sessions on every social media channel under the sun, or through the website, or you can come to people directly. And one thing I have learned through doing things with Vincent is Vincent knows everybody in the world in the most surprising ways possible. So if you already know Vincent, then send him a message on whatever kind of back call thing you have, system or communication you have with Vincent. And then we can just set up that first call and just kind of talk it through and talk through how you're using music currently. Just have an interesting conversation around that. And from that, we can suggest how the accelerator could work best for you.
Exactly. Well, with that then, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. And, you know, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Label Sessions Presents. Don't forget to kind of have a look at the other stuff that we're doing for more conversations with, you know, experts driving innovation. But if any of this has piqued your interest, like Nick said, come chat to us. Come say hi.